Welcome back into Sports Talk TikTok, 7 o'clock hour here this Wednesday, August 19th, as we get ready for Saints joint workouts against the LA Rams tomorrow. Should be a fun one as they get ready also for preseason game number 2. It'll be in SoFi Stadium against the Rams, a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. And then we'll wrap up the preseason, man, in a Friday game against the Dallas Cowboys, who they were just brawling with yesterday. We'll see if any fights break out in tomorrow's session. Jeff has put the under at 0.5. We'll see if that happens. I think things will get a little bit heated, though, between the Saints and Rams, especially since this Rams squad is one of those big contenders in the NFC. A lot is expected from. Before we get into our WWL soundbank today, I want to address one of the text line, 504-260-1870, Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, that is, asking, will the Saints look for any other wide receivers with news? Obviously, Jordan Tyson dealing with a hamstring issue. They did have a workout with two guys. Chase Claypool, 28-year-old former second-round pick, had some big years early on with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but his career trajectory really hit a wall after stops in Chicago and then Miami. Didn't catch a pass in 2023, missed all of last season in Buffalo due to an injury, and was just working out for Green Bay earlier this spring. He's got physical talent, but looking for a place to revitalize his career. Could it be in New Orleans? We shall see. The second guy the black and gold worked out is Josh Reynolds, 31 years old, had 121 career games under his belt. He's had stops with the Rams, Lions, Broncos, Jaguars, most recently with the Jets last season before a hip injury cut his season short. A reliable veteran presence he could bring to the black and gold, 244 career catches with 20 touchdowns. We'll see if either of these guys ends up signing a deal with the team, but I mean, from all the positive news we've been hearing from this Saints wide receiver room, especially with the rookies and Barrion Brown and Bryce Lance, I'm just hoping we get to see more opportunities for these guys going forward. And I think that's going to be the case right now, at least. We'll see if any of these injuries keep piling up in that wide receiver room as well. But interesting to see that they are kicking the tires on a few guys.
Yeah, it makes sense that they're doing their due diligence as they should with the injuries piling up, but they invested in that position. You guys have been breaking it down and doing a great job. That was the first time they drafted three wide receivers since, what, 1989?
Yeah.
So those are homegrown guys, and in a perfect world, they would definitely rather throw out, you know, Bryce Lance or Barrion Brown in a bigger role than bringing in one of these guys.
Going to go to our WWL Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank. After practice today, it was a short walkthrough. Nothing much going on for the black and gold. Linebacker Danny Stutzman got a chance to talk to the media, a guy that we didn't see in action in preseason game number 1. Here's what he had to say.
Were you surprised not to play Saturday the other day? What do you think that said about kind of your status on the team?
I mean, I had the mindset that I was. You know, I always like to be prepared for any opportunity. And then I kind of told me the night before that I wasn't going to go, which is what it is. You know, obviously I'd love to be out there, but at the end of the day, we have a long season. Want to take care of your body. You know, I got waiting for my parents to already land in New Orleans before I told them that I wasn't going to be playing. They were a little bummed out, but, you know, like I said, they're not going to be mad that I'm going to take care of my body a little bit.
Do you think that's a reflection of kind of the camp you're having, that, you know, they felt like, all right, we don't need to see you right away at least?
You know, I try not to think about that. You know, kind of just, you know, keep my head down, keep doing what I've been doing. And then, you know, I know a lot of guys are really fighting for a spot here, you know, myself included. And every single rep that you put on film really matters.
When you guys are back in the hotel, though, like, is there any, like, bonding over kind of, like, going through a crazy practice like that?
There's definitely, you know, kind of talk around the dinner table, you know, kind of not laughing about it. But, you know, it definitely brings the team together a little bit. Obviously, you know, you try to want to avoid stuff like that. At the end of the day, if someone else is going after one of your guys, one of your teammates, and you kind of have to defend them. And I think it shows the character of who we are as a team, that we support each other, we got everyone's back.
After yesterday's physical practice, how much are you guys looking forward to another good team and another good joint practice?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you have an opportunity to play, you know, we just number one offense in the Cowboys, now another really talented Rams squad. You know, those are great opportunities for a defense like us. We're just trying to prove it to everyone that we can really play high-level ball. And every opportunity you get, we go out there, we make the most of it, you know. Not a lot of time to prepare, which is that's the best time to do it, man. We're going out there just playing our brand of football, you know, no game plan, just going out there and play New Orleans Saints football.
With all the action going on in the background of Danny Stutzman, Saints linebacker's interview, it felt like, I don't know, they're in some kind of industrial center for practice.
Yeah, or the wind's just like going crazy. But those media scrums are always fun for those reasons, man. You never know what you're going to get.
Looking at Stutzman, you know, big things expected for him year two in this linebacker room, obviously led by Pete Werner and, of course, Caden Ellis. But Danny Stutzman, a guy you're looking to make his mark, aggressive, really tone-setter kind of attitude he brings to this team. And curious to see how things shake out, obviously, with other guys in the mix with, you know, Jalen Ford we saw having a big pick. The acquisition now of Deion Jones, where's he going to fit in? And Isaiah Stallbird, a guy that we've seen mostly contributing on special teams so far.
Yeah, they have a lot of, like, differently skilled players in that linebacker room. It's kind of exciting. And I feel like they're really high on Stutzman based on how he played last year, based on the fact that he wasn't even in uniform in that first preseason game. And Jalen Ford playing that well is significant. And this is just my opinion. Like, you know, don't speculate too much. But in a world where Stutzman plays that well throughout the offseason, are they okay with him being the starter, Jalen Ford being the backup, and possibly exploring a trade with Pete Werner so he doesn't eventually just walk away for nothing? That's something I'm keeping an eye on.
Spicy there, Mario.
I mean, just a thought.
Looking at Jalen Ford, you know, curious to see how he continues to develop. We've seen him do a lot of special teams work for this team. Has also dealt with some injuries, but man, he's got the body, and you see that speed on the field is so awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, there's a lot. It feels like there's a lot to work with there. And certain guys, like going back to Stutzman, like his ability to play in space and coverage, if he refines that, he could be a much more complete player. And I think you could say that about a couple of guys. And that's exciting. You know, you're losing some veteran pieces with Taylor and DeMario Davis, but you're also developing some homegrown guys that might not get there right away, but down the road can be really good all-around players.
I've been really impressed with the way that Brandon Staley, since he came in last year, has just been able to basically retool this whole offense. It's a whole new scheme. We know from the days of Dennis Allen, things have changed. It's no longer even looking remotely the same, but guys have really bought in and have adapted to this system, and just it seems like he's that Staley's able to really get the best out of some of these players. The way, you know, Chase Young responded last season, absolutely awesome. And, you know, looking for a monster season from him because, you know, everybody's talked about it, I think, a ton here on WWL, the fact that if you had to pick one single player that is the best absolute athlete on the Saints right now, it's got to be Chase Young, and he looks like he's poised to have another double digits plus sack season here.
Oh yeah, I think he can have an all pro type of season, and I think he really trusts Brandon Staley. I don't know if he's really had that comfortability with any coach, at least in the NFL, yeah, since he's come into the league. And you have to be really impressed with the individual work with some of the players that Staley has done so far. Now with the continuity, that makes it really exciting going into year two.
Folks, if you got some fantasy football questions, we want you to chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into our fantasy frenzy starting every Wednesday here on WWL. Andrew Erickson, football analyst with Fantasy Pros, will join us. Keep it locked right here on WWL for all your top fantasy advice. Coming back right after this. We covered a lot today. If you missed any minute of what you want to hear or want to hear it again, or you're waiting for, head to WWL.com, click audio, and find this show. Stream a specific segment, catch the full episode, or browse any past shows whenever it is convenient for you. Back here on WWL Sports Talk, getting ready to get into our fantasy frenzy. Going to have a weekly segment during this football season, getting you ready for your fantasy football drafts right now. And then we'll be talking a lot during the season, obviously, about roster management, of course, waiver wire additions. Andrew Erickson, a football analyst for Fantasy Pros, will be joining us shortly. Looking at some of the black and gold news that we want to get into during training camp. Obviously, the big news is going to be tomorrow, the joint workout going on with those LA Rams leading into Saints preseason game number 2 in SoFi Stadium on Saturday at 3 p.m. kickoff. You can catch right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app, a 3 p.m. start. Welcoming in now Andrew Erickson, football analyst with Fantasy Pros, to the radio huddle. Andrew, how's it going, man? I know this time of year has got to be exciting for you as well, with everybody's fantasy drafts kicking off about right now. Some folks have even gotten underway already.
I mean, if you're like a degenerate like myself, you've been drafting teams since after the Super Bowl. So we are ready to rock and roll here. Super excited. This is the best time to be a football fan, fantasy football player. And yeah, just trying to get everybody ready for their drafts and so they can crush it this year.
Now, when you say you've been drafting teams already, this has just got to be mock drafts. You're not doing actual league drafting yet, are you?
Oh, no. There are ways that you can draft all sorts of teams at any time. You can draft before free agency. With best ball is a newer format where basically you'll draft teams and they'll automatically set their lineups every single week. So it helps me a lot because during the season, I'm obviously very busy trying to help people set their lineups. And if I do a lot of these best ball drafts, well, I don't have to do any in-season management. And it just takes care of all the guys that I drafted. So, yeah.
Love it, man. Yeah, to me, you know, this time of year, I'm so anxious to get into things and obviously doing a ton of mock drafts, getting ready for my fantasy football draft. But if you do them early before the preseason ends, I feel like you risk, you know, the injury issues. And we've seen a bunch of players going down so far, and it can be a real damper on guys who, you know, you've already selected for your money league, and all of a sudden they're on the shelf or dealing with serious injuries during training camp.
Yeah, it is very, very tough. It's a reminder of how brutal this game can be, but you got to adjust. You got to pivot. That's why we have things like the waiver wire, and you can be active on that. So, again, the fantasy football draft is obviously a very important part of your season. That's where you build the foundation. But we all know your team is going to churn and burn throughout the year. Injuries are going to – again, the injuries aren't going to stop. So you have to be – proactive on the waivers, making trades, improving your roster's strength, trying to get over those weaknesses. So it's just part of the process, part of the game. Hopefully we get some less injuries happening sooner, but until then, we'll just have to deal with it.
Saints fans would agree with that, with, you know, less injuries a lot sooner. We're dealing with Jordan Tyson over here currently with that hamstring issue. A lot of expectations for the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft. And now we know he's going to be on the shelf for at least 2 months dealing with that hamstring issue. Does that frighten you totally from taking him in an NFL, in a fantasy football draft? Or are you kind of putting him obviously then into the later rounds? Or just, do you leave him undrafted and leave him to the waiver wire?
I think it does depend a little bit on your league format. If you only have a couple bench spots, it's really tough to hold on to a player that's injured.
Yeah.
I would say that during the beginning of the season, you have your roster at its healthiest. So you should be able to kind of get by even if you're not able to play Tyson. I would also say, too, a lot of leagues have IR spots. So Jordan Tyson, to me, would be the first guy I would draft, put him in my IR spot, and then you can merely pick somebody else up off the waivers when the first waiver run happens in your league. So I think IR spot leagues, he definitely is still very much in play because we know that the type of impact he could have. I know that I was reading reports about him potentially being the best player on offense for the New Orleans Saints this year. So obviously that's going to be something that might happen in the future now, right, because of the injury. But I don't think you can just completely cross him off your board because of the injury. You're going to get a discount on him. And if he's on your bench, you want to load your bench up with players that could become indispensable on your lineups. And a healthy Jordan Tyson, that's that guy. He can be an indispensable part of your lineup, and that's what you really should be focusing with your bench players, not guys that are like, oh, like maybe he could crack my lineup, like he's depth. That's overrated. You want guys that could be potentially elite, and I think a healthy Tyson fits that box.
Just looking overall, how are you building your rankings at this time of year? Like, what are the biggest things that maybe have shifted in the last couple of weeks of training camp as it's been rolling on?
Yeah, I mean, just adjusting to all of the injuries that have been kind of taking place, moving guys up and down tiers. Obviously, the biggest injury news today was Houston Texans second-year wide receiver Jaden Higgins going down with a torn ACL. So he's going to miss the entire season. So that moves up some of the other Texans players. Nico Collins gets a little bump up as one of the top-tier wide receivers to draft. Dalton Schultz, the tight end, now kind of enters that late round tight end conversation, similar to like what we saw with the Tyson injury to Juwan Johnson. Now I think Juwan Johnson is one of the premier late round tight end targets. Last year, I believe that he was third in receiving yards amongst tight ends, and he goes nowhere near tight end 3 across the board. So he is emerging to me as one of my favorite players to grab late, especially at tight end, because he's a proven producer in this Kellen Moore offense, and it's really just him and Chris Olave as the established receivers, obviously Devon Vele as well. But that's kind of what I've been up to, is trying to adjust the rankings to all these injuries, trying to move guys up, move guys down based on the aftermath and the impact of those guys missing time.
Andrew, curious too, do you have like a preferred approach to, say, a typical 12-team PPR draft this year? I know a lot of folks like zero running back, hero running back, or even something in the middle. It seemed like early on in fantasy, it was always you wanted to draft those premier running backs early on. But a lot nowadays, I feel like even the going heavy in the wide receiver realm, those star guys, is a big plus as well.
I think that this year, the running backs are definitely the number one priority early in drafts. You'll find that a lot of rooms that you'll be in, a lot of mocks that you do, you're going to see a lot of running backs go off the board pretty quickly. That's because we've had a really great influx of talent at the position, obviously headlined by the top two guys, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, who typically will usually go 1-2 in every single fantasy football draft. But as the first round trickles on, you have more players like Jonathan Taylor, James Cook, and then even in the second round, you're seeing players like Ken Walker, Ashton Jeanty, Marion Hampton, and then obviously Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, older players, but still guys that you think if they can stay healthy are going to deliver top end types of fantasy seasons. So I think that you need to get a running back within your first two rounds. I do think that receiver is in play if you can get one of these alpha guys, whether it's Chase, Puka, St. Brown, JSN, those types of players. But I find myself really feeling much worse about my rosters if I don't have a running back within the first two rounds. And then part of that reason too is when you're drafting the receivers in the middle rounds, you like those receivers much more than the running backs do.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're kind of reaching a little bit. You're making a play where you're not exactly sure, okay, how do I feel about this running back? You're really more like filling the void of, oh, I need a running back. Let me grab one here, when you're much better off drafting wide receivers in that particular range. And then with tight end as well, there's a lot of late round tight end options. So I love the talent of Bowers. I love the talent of Colson Loveland, two guys that kind of go rounds 2, 3, 4. But typically I found myself, if I don't end up getting with one of those guys, waiting at tight end and then also waiting at quarterback. Like that's when I definitely feel very confident. It's like the late round quarterback approach. Late round quarterback hits every single year. And there's just another great, there's just so much depth at the position that you don't, again, I got nothing against Josh Allen, but I'm not drafting him because he's the first quarterback off the board and he goes in round 3. Like that's just the case against Josh Allen. When I can get guys like a Trevor Lawrence, I can get a Bo Nix is a QB 15. He's been quarterback 7 in back-to-back seasons. So there's just so much value on the board at quarterback. So that's kind of my typical strategy. You want to hit running back early, receivers in the middle rounds, and then go late round quarterback.
Curious your thoughts on a wide receiver we all care about here, was with LSU, still wearing purple with the Minnesota Vikings, Justin Jefferson. I know he's still going to be a first-round pick, but how high in draft should folks be targeting him, considering obviously last year had issues at the quarterback situation in Minnesota? This year, is Kyler Murray the answer over there? I guess it's going to be a wait-and-see approach, but how are you feeling about Jefferson's stock going into this season?
Yeah, Jefferson was a player I very much wanted to buy the dip on him entering the season based on, you know, the performance last year with J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, that won't be the quarterback under center in 2026, at least to start the season. And you got to remember, when Carson Wentz was playing, Jefferson was still very productive. You know, he's been productive with basically every single quarterback he's played with except for J.J. McCarthy. So I do expect there to be a bounce back of some way, shape, or form with Kyler Murray. However, to the extent of where Jefferson goes, because, yeah, he is still a first-round pick. So you still feel like you're not really getting a discount on Jefferson because of what happened last year. We're all just kind of erasing it, forgetting about it, when Kyler Murray still has a lot to prove. You know, he wasn't the best quarterback for his fantasy receivers in Arizona at times. You know, Trey McBride famously could never catch touchdowns until Kyler Murray never was no longer the quarterback, and then he just went on a scoring bonanza. So I do think that anytime you have a quarterback receiver that's a new duo, it's a new pairing that invites a lot of risk. I find myself going in the running back direction more often than not than Jefferson, and I still like guys like CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson. I know Lamb has a little bit more competition with George Pickens, but I mean, we've seen Lamb and Dak Prescott operate at a high level. Like, there's no concern about, oh, are these guys going to be good together? Like, we know that they can play at an elite level. So I side with like the CeeDee Lamb part of that conversation. And if you're going to bet on a quarterback wide receiver pairing, I mean, I hate to be a homer, but like, I'm really excited about AJ Brown this year with Drake May entering his third season. I mean, who would you rather have throwing you the ball, Drake May or Kyler Murray?
That was going to be my question as I hop in here, because you have A.J. Brown in your top 10, I believe, with ADP. That stands for average draft position, for those who don't know. But his average seems to be around like the 25 level or something like that. So why are you specifically so much higher on A.J. Brown compared to the rest of the fantasy community?
I think that we're concerned about maybe a little bit of the fall off last year with the Philadelphia Eagles, when I credit that fall off in production to the lack of Eagles passing efficiency last year. The Eagles offense was a mess last year. And when they actually did feature AJ Brown after he came back from his hamstring injury, you know, he was a wide receiver 3 in points per game from weeks 11 through 16. So I think that he is now in a position where highly motivated, reunited with Mike Vrabel, they traded a first round pick to get him. He's clearly going to get volume. That was the biggest thing with him in some of these Philadelphia Eagles game scripts, where he just wasn't getting any targets. He wasn't getting enough volume. Whereas I didn't think his fall off in terms of watching him. I mean, I was at Patriots training camp today watching AJ Brown, and that guy looked as advertised, did not look washed whatsoever, was making plays through contact. They were moving him around the formation. So they weren't just sticking him out at X and okay, just go and get open. No, like, he is motivated. He's ready to go. I think he has a sky-high ceiling, especially attached to Drake May. And an offense that's going to throw the ball a lot. The Patriots ranked 4th in pass rate over expectation last year. Drake May is an ascending. I think AJ Brown got a quarterback upgrade going from Jalen Hurts to Drake May. May entering his 13th. And Josh McDaniels, we've seen Josh McDaniels pepper his alpha wide receivers in the past, whether it was Brandon Marshall in the Denver Broncos or Devontae Adams with the Las Vegas Raiders. So if you're going to give A.J. Brown 150 targets attached to Drake May, that is a top 5 level ceiling, and that's why I'm so high on A.J. Brown.
Talking with Andrew Erickson, fantasy football analyst for Fantasy Pros, joining us here on WWL. Andrew, looking at some guys, what's a one player maybe that you're highest on relative to their average draft position that you kind of just keep taking in the mock drafts you're doing?
Yeah, I think that the best litmus test for how you feel about a player is how pissed you get when you don't get them.
Gotcha.
Right? It's not about the must-have players. It's about the, oh my God, I'm so angry I didn't get this player because I tried to push it, or I let him go to the next round thinking I could get him. That player for me this year is the Ravens wide receiver, Zay Flowers.
Okay.
So he is someone that I have right on the wide receiver 1 fringe. He just got paid by the Baltimore Ravens. And I just like what I've seen from him from a consistency standpoint. He's gotten better every single year of his NFL career. And last year, over 1,200 yards, 86 catches. The thing that has been eluding him up to this point has been the touchdowns, right? He only had 6 total touchdowns last year. But once we get this floor established with Zay Flowers, I think there's another ceiling for him with a new offensive play caller coming in. I think there's a chance that they use Zay Flowers a little bit more in the red zone. I mean, when you look at what he did last year in terms of how efficient he was 4th in yards per route run, only behind Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Luther Burden. And obviously Burden did on a much smaller sample size. He also saw a 28% target share, which ranked 5th in the NFL. So when you look at all the advanced metrics for Zay Flowers, he ranks top 5 across the board, except for touchdowns. Like, every other receiver that had 1,200 receiving yards last year had 8 touchdowns. Zay Flowers was the only one that did. So if we can just get some positive touchdown regression, which we know that what indicates touchdowns or predicts touchdowns is yards, catches, targets. If he's doing all those other things, eventually he's going to just explode in terms of production. So I think the Ravens were smart to get ahead of it, because I think he's in for another big season as he continues to progress throughout his NFL career. And the fact that you get him around like end of round 3, round 4 even, I think it's such a layup. I think worst case scenario, he just does exactly what he's been doing. But if he gets the touchdowns, I think we could talk about Zay Flowers as a 1-2 turn pick next year.
Yeah, you mentioned that. A guy for me that I'm upset if I don't get in these mock drafts usually is running back for the Chargers, Omarion Hampton. Curious how you feel about him. Just should I be worried, though, about, you know, some of the other running backs there, like Kamani Vidal and Keaton Mitchell in the mix? But I just got to feel that Jim Harbaugh's offense definitely going to pound the rock a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to describe it, because as exciting as Keaton Mitchell, the idea could be in a Mike McDaniel offense, I think that you look at Hampton and what he can do as a physical runner. What are they going to do when they're up on some of these teams? You look at the Chargers schedule. They open the year against the Cardinals and the Raiders. I'm pretty sure they're favored by like 10.5 points in week one against the Cardinals. Now, I can't say whether they're going to cover that spread or not, but that is at least suggesting that Omarion Hampton is going to be playing with a positive game script. So I think that Hampton, yes, it feels kind of like exciting, exhilarating, kind of terrifying to take him where he goes right in the middle of round two. But the upside that he could deliver as a former first round pick, was efficient last year, obviously missed time because of his injuries. The Chargers overall had some injuries, and the Chargers are dealing with more injuries now. We saw Tyler Biadasz, their starting center, go down. So that's another kind of thing to be concerned about. But the fact that his matchups are so good to start the year, there is a chance where if he comes out on the gates on fire, you could always look to sell high on him as we get into the season. But I think for now, I think there's reasons to be bullish on Omarion Hampton. And I'm not so concerned about there being a potential committee, because Mike McDaniel's been pretty clear. If Omarion Hampton's balling out, a dude's going to get the rock. And we know that Harbaugh, like you said, likes to run the football, ground and pound. That's Hampton's game.
Andrew, always great stuff hearing from you, man. Look forward to even more. Tell us about Fantasy Pros, what folks can find on there. I know Draft Wizard is an awesome tool to work with.
Yeah, we got it all, everything covered to get you ready for your fantasy football drafts, from the Draft Wizard, from the Draft Assistant, which you can sync up, which can help you draft your team live when the bullets are flying. You can have the Draft Assistant help you kind of guide the path. And we also have Draft Intel, which is another new feature that we've been highlighting. Draft Intel can tell you what your league mates' tendencies are.
Huh.
So you sync up your league, it looks at your history based on how many years you've been in the league, and it can tell you, oh yeah, this guy here, he always drafts a receiver in round five. That stuff is so critical to have that information, especially when you're drafting your team. If you know what your opponents are going to do before they do, that's a massive edge, because you know exactly how you can manipulate the board. You can address certain positions, wait on other positions. So that's a thing that's part of the whole offering that we have for our Fantasy Pros. We have a 3-day free trial. So go check that out over on the website, fantasypros.com. Also download the app, Fantasy Pros. You can find that on the Google Play Store, also on the Apple Store. And also find me, Andrew Erickson, over on fantasypros.com as well. I'm also at @AndrewErickson_ on X.
Love it, man. Play fantasy chess with Fantasy Pros. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Andrew Erickson joining us on our Fantasy Friends Frenzy. We're going to have this every Wednesday, folks, at 7:25 during the preseason and going into the season as well, getting you locked in for your fantasy football rosters. Taking a break, coming back with more sports talk right after this. Keep it locked on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into WWL Sports Talk. We're gearing up for Saints preseason action Saturday, taking on the LA Rams, 3 p.m. on WWL Saints Radio. Joint practice tomorrow. Can't wait to hear all the action in California on that. Talking today after practice, our WWL Sound Bank brought to you by First American Bank. Cornerback Martin Emerson Jr. looking to lock down a spot in that depth chart for corner. Here's what he had to say after today's walkthrough.
Martin, what do you think you were doing yesterday that was really getting on the Cowboys' skin? It looks like they were kind of really every time.
Just playing physical, man. Yeah. We playing a game we love, you know, as kids. Just having fun flying around and get to, you know, attack some other guys that are not our players. So that was fun, you know, to be physical and fly around.
It seemed like the DBs, like you, Justin, Kool-Aid, that kind of came in with that physical mindset. Would you agree with that yesterday's practice?
Yes, sir. I mean, that's... As a DB, well, any defensive player, if you don't want to be physical, then you might be playing the wrong, you know, position, wrong sport maybe. But, yeah, we just want to be physical and let our opponent know that, you know, we're going to be here every play, all game.
How much of a rhythm do you feel like you're in? I mean, it seems like you've been a pretty nice role this last couple weeks.
I would just say I'm just doing what I love to do, man. You know, playing ball, back at it. I'm so thankful because around this time last year, I was dealing with my Achilles injury. And that was tough, man. You know, so just climbing up under that rock, and just, you know, trusting my work ethic and everything that me and my team have done to get back to this point, to be on the field, to be able to compete at a high level. It's just, you know, it's just a testimony itself. But man, I'm just thankful to get my feet back underneath me. And I feel like it's a lot of more growing that I can do in my game, and that's what we're attacking every day.
There was that day you had, you know, 5 breakups, the interception. Like, I feel like that day did something for you in terms of, I don't know, confidence of being back, like feeling where you are physically, or like since then, like, you know, what did that day mean to you and do for you kind of just going forward here?
Just always knowing like what the player I've always been, you know, and the player that I can be, you know, and I just want to, you know, come out every single day and give my best to this team because man, we deserve it, you know, they deserve it, and I just want to gain the respect for my teammates and my coaches and everybody, you know, and the Who Dat Nation, and just show everybody what I can do.
I don't know, did you need a reminder to like show what you could do? Like, it was
out of form? Not really. I knew that day would come, you know, just staying out and keep my head down and, you know, keep working and working my techniques and doing what, you know, what the coaches tell me to do, and the plays will come. So when the plays came, I just had to make them. And, you know, that's, as long as you're doing your technique, that's really the easy job.
You guys got run against a high profile offense yesterday. You get another good one in Matthew Stafford and company. So how good is this test going to be for you guys in the defense and the secondary?
It's great, man, to be in company with great offenses, you know, very explosive, great playmakers, great quarterbacks, and, you know, they got their pieces, you know, they got their guys, and we have our guys, and we're going to come in, we're going to compete, and, you know, give it our all every single day. But that's very big for our defense to go against these great offenses and get these exclusive looks against great receivers and good quarterbacks that won't really make too many mistakes. So that's going to be fun.
Saints corner Martin Emerson Jr. talking after today's walkthrough session for the Black and Gold. Really physical guy, press coverage, appeared in 50 regular season games, 33 starts across his first 3 active seasons, spent the entirety of last year on injured reserve after suffering an Achilles injury, signed with the Black and Gold on a 1-year deal this offseason and competing for time in the secondary. Best of luck to him, who grew up in Pensacola, Florida, as a Saints fan, so he's excited to be part of this Black and Gold bunch. Going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, wrapping things up, keep it locked right here on WWL Saints Radio, folks. Back here on Sports Talk, wrapping things up. Earlier we talked about there was a group of college, now pro athletes, who were granted a temporary restraining order, basically, to return to college football for another season. Well, CBS Sports now is reporting that former Saint and former Ole Miss star defensive lineman Xavion Harris, expected to enter the transfer portal, hasn't ruled out a return to Ole Miss per sources. The 6'8", 333-pounder was an all-SEC selection last season. Wonder if Lane Kiffin will be giving him a call if he enters that transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely talented, has a lot of off-field issues.
Sure,
from what I saw. But yeah, I mean, I would think a lot of people, including some SEC teams, might kick the tire on him.
Curious to see how this all shakes out now, but yeah, just a whole different world. We talked about it earlier. It's like a much different from the college football we grew up with.
Yeah, even with when I grew up with, man, like the BCS and everything like that seems like the Stone Age. Like, it's just so different now. And like I said, it's probably going to continue to get even crazier and crazier.
We'll hear from Lane Kiffin and LSU players tomorrow after fall camp. Meanwhile, tomorrow on 4 on Sports Talk with Mike D'Attilier and myself. You can catch up on the Saints joint workout with the Rams. Times Picayune, NOLA.com columnist Jeff Duncan will join us at 4:25. Then even more Black and Gold banter with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, at 6:25. Plus, we'll hear post-practice comments with head coach Kellen Moore, cornerback Kool-Aid McCrinstry, and also left tackle Kelvin Banks Jr. Plus, like I mentioned, Lane Kiffin and LSU players, what did they have to say after their fall camp session? Make sure you huddle up with me and Mike D for more Sports Talk tomorrow, 4 to 8 p.m. here on WWL and the Odyssey app. For Mark, Mario, and myself, Steve Geller, have a great night, folks. We'll be back with more Black and Gold coverage tomorrow. Saints preseason game coming up on Saturday as they take on the LA Rams. Thanks for joining us here on WWL. Who dat? Have a great night.